What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, back from the holiday briefly. Got a lot to talk about over the last week. The Warriors looked awful in some games and looked good in some other games. Some off-the-court news as well. Pat McCaw is officially no longer a Warrior. And I'll tell you why it makes sense. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Hope you all had a lovely holiday break. I know I did. Hope it was filled with family and fun and all that good stuff. And some Warriors basketball, I'm sure. Now, I can't remember where we left off, but I do think it was the 22nd. Which was a Friday, I believe, and they played the Mavs. So either way, I'm going to run down these last couple games. They played really quick. I'll get a little deeper into the last Portland game. We will talk about the Phoenix Suns game tonight, the Pat McCaw news, and what the Warriors' future looks like for that 15th roster spot and why it was so important to keep that spot open. But that's coming up later. Right now, it is the quick rundown of their last couple games. When they took on Dallas on the 22nd, I'm not sure where we last left off. But they got the win, 120-116. It was a damn good performance for the Warriors until the end. They were up about 18, and Dallas actually brought it back all the way down to one. They had Harrison Barnes three to try and take the lead. And because he's Harrison Barnes, he missed it. That was mean. I'm sorry. We love you, Harrison. But he did miss the three. And KD came down, nailed the three, got the dagger for the W. Not too much in that game really standing out. Andre Iguodala continues to shoot a lot of threes. He went 2 of 8 from three, which is good. It's good. He needs to shoot them. It'd be better if he was hitting them at a higher clip. But the bottom line, we can't have a situation similar to the one we have with Draymond where he's just frozen at the top of the arch because he doesn't know what to do. So Andre's shooting them and hit or miss on certain games. This was the Jerebko game, though, where he put up 23 points, had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, went 10 of 12 from the field. Jerebko killed it. He had an incredible game. But like I said, the Warriors kind of let go of the thread, let go of the rope a little later in the game. And yeah, Dallas was able to come back. Warriors were able to get the win. Not a big deal. Steph had a game, 7-22 from the field, 6-17 from three. So that one was, it was a mix of, okay, this is Warriors basketball, and then at the end when they let them come back, maybe it's not. The very next night they took on the Clippers, who, look, the Clippers are a good team. Clippers are a good team, man. They may not have the superstars, but they got a lot of above-average players, and it's working for them. Clippers, again, played well. Tobias Harris had a good game. And Tobias Harris gets the headlines, I guess, for the Clippers because he's the, I don't know, most explosive scorer on the team. But Danilo Gallinari is the one who's really turned it around for them. He went 8 of 11, 5 of 5 from 3, 11 rebounds, 25 points. He's kind of the motor to that team. Tobias Harris obviously deserves a lot of credit as well. But if you ask me, Danilo Gallinari has been the best player on that team. This one was back and forth all game. It was a hell of a game. Look, the Western Conference is no joke. The Clippers are a good team. And Dallas, that's another good team. Portland's a good team. Warriors are playing good teams every single night, including tonight. Phoenix, worst record in the Western Conference. But look, that's a team that is also explosive. I'm going to talk about them later. But against the Clippers, Steph went for 42. He was 12 of 22 from the field, was able to get to the line a bunch and knocked him down. He was 12 of 13 from the line. Steph had 42. KD had 35. Klay was continuing to struggle, went 4 of 15 for 12 points. It wasn't great. It was not. Steve Kerr opted to start Jonas Jerebko this game instead of Kevon Looney, which, mixed results. Still trying to figure out the center position without DeMarcus Cousins there, not knowing how he's going to be anyways. So still trying to figure it out. I don't know. There's only so many options they have right now. This game came down to the wire. Steph knocks down a driving layup with about 0.5 seconds left to win it for the Warriors. It was awesome. It was a great back-to-back win situation where against Dallas, KD knocks down the big three. Against the Clippers, Steph's the one who gets the W for him. So that was great stuff for the Warriors. Then we get to Christmas Day. And it was a stinker. I mean, there's not much I can say about the Christmas Day game. It was one of those games where the Warriors just didn't show up. And we've seen them have these games over the last couple years. It's too bad it happened on Christmas. And it's too bad it wasted probably Andre Iguodala's best game in years. Andre went 9-12 from the field, 3-5 from three, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 23 points. You don't get that from Andre, almost ever. And he was the one keeping them in the game. Between Steph and KD, they went 10 of 30. Between Steph, KD, and Klay, they went 12 of 37. That is bad. On top of that, they went 6 of 19 from 3. Here's the thing with the Warriors. They're so top-heavy that, and I've heard this mentioned as a problem before, and it's only a problem when the top isn't performing. And it's been somewhat of a problem this year because Klay hasn't performed well. So, yes, they're top-heavy. They have 3 superstars. 4 if you include Draymond. But as far as scoring goes, it's Klay, Steph, KD. In no particular order. And with Klay struggling, that's what's hurt the Warriors so far. It's not just that they're top-heavy. It's that they're top-heavy and one of the top pieces has struggled all year. So the Warriors got their asses kicked this game, 127-101. And the worst part is they did it after LeBron James got injured in the early third quarter. I think tweaked a groin. And the Warriors made a push, nice little push to try and get back in it. I think they cut it all the way down to 4. Couldn't get over the hump. Could not finish. So that was a tough one. I don't know what it's like to play on Christmas. Is it something they should be used to by now? I don't know. Is it something you ever get used to? I don't know. I just know personally, I think it would be weird to have to play on Christmas, work on Christmas, especially in a competitive environment such as the NBA. But that's just me. What do I know? Maybe it's extra motivation knowing it's a Christmas Day game and you're going to be on TV. But Steph Curry has had a Christmas slump, so to speak. He's never really performed well in any of these Christmas Day games. And I don't know if it's because of Christmas or if it's just all coincidence, whatever. But it's a real thing. So I don't know if you chalk it up as just, it's a game, whatever, it happens. It's a Christmas game, they're tough to get up for, whatever the situation is. It was a very poor performance by everyone not named Andre Iguodala. Going to go to the Portland Trailblazers game, the first Portland Trailblazers game. The Warriors played them twice over 3 days, the 27th and the 29th. So the 27th at home, taking on Portland. It was just another one of these games where the Warriors just, I don't know if they're disinterested or what the case is, but you just always feel they can play better. And like I said about the top heaviness and Klay not playing well, the guy went 2 of 9 from 3, 6 of 19 from the field, 15 points. And Steph had 29, KD had 26. So it's tough when that third option just really isn't pulling their offensive weight, so to speak. Klay, I will say, has been great defensively, and I've mentioned it before. That's one of the nice things about Klay Thompson. Even though he has slumped horribly offensively this year, defensively been great, possibly his best defensive year. And then he's added some rebounding to his game. Ball handling is better, but I still get nervous seeing him bring it up the court. Some of his shot selection can be questionable. Some of the mid-range jumpers that he, you know, pulls up into with 18 seconds still on the shot clock, don't love. But he's still a contributor. But as far as his offensive load goes, it hasn't been classic Klay Thompson. So anyways, the Warriors had the lead late in this game. They tied it up late. And it seemed like they were going to be able to pull it out. Klay made a great play at the end of the game where he shut down Dame Lillard, barely even let him get a shot off. I don't think he got the shot off, actually, before they went to OT. Just a great job by Klay defensively. And then in OT, the Warriors are able to pull it out. They get a nice five-point lead. Draymond hits his only three of the game, one of the biggest threes to put him up 109-107. And Steph decides to make one of his awful... They trap Steph, and he makes one of his one-handed, over-the-head passes that Mo Harkless knocks down. Dame Lillard gets it. Klay almost steals it again from Dame, and Dame backpedals into a three that he knocks down. Warriors get one more shot, miss. Does not matter. Ball game. Trailblazers. Dame Lillard. In Oakland. Good for him, being the son of Oakland that he is, but man, that game sucked for the Warriors. That was a tough loss. Luckily, they played the Trailblazers 2 days later in Portland with a different outcome. We're going to talk about that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors, or welcome back, really. I'm a little rusty here, you know? Little Klay Thompson here, you know what I mean? Speaking of which, Klay, who struggled mightily and has struggled mightily the entire season, you know, why even sugarcoat it? That's just the damn truth. Goes into Portland, has a nice game, has a really nice game. It felt like a Klay Thompson game. It felt like this was what we are supposed to be seeing from Klay. And you could tell that he was relieved and happy. And he was grinning ear to ear after some of these shots. Just, he's been frustrated. He's been incredibly frustrated with his play. He knows it. He's frustrated with the questions. It's a tough spot for him to be in. He's not used to being in this spot because the shots usually fall. But this was a nice game for him, nice moment for him. He puts up 32 on 4 of 5 from 3, 12 of 21 from the field, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. He's had a bunch of 3-steal games recently. That's what I was checking. But Klay had a great game, which was good to see. Steve, something I didn't mention about the last game. Steve Kerr, in that first game against Portland, pretty much cut his rotation down to 8. It was the starting 5 and then Jonas, Andre, and Sean, which is stupid. I'm sorry. It's dumb. You have a team that you're planning on going deep into the playoffs, hopefully all the way through the finals. You want to keep them fresh. You can't just be playing you can't just be playing 8 players. And you can tell me Quinn and Jordan Bell and Alphonso McKinney and all these other players are flawed, which, sure, but there are plenty of players that are flawed. Klay Thompson's been flawed all year because he hasn't been able to knock down a shot. Draymond Green is flawed because they are ignoring him completely. He might as well be a zero offensively. But you're telling me Quinn Cook, Alphonso McKinney, Jordan Bell can't get minutes. Steve Kerr even mentioned after the game, he's like, yeah, I don't know why I did that. I hate it when I do that, which is weird. Did you not know that you did that? I don't know. Either way, he changed it up in the second game against the Trailblazers. McKinney got 13 minutes. Quinn got 12 minutes. Jordan Bell only got 7 minutes, but you know what? It was a good 7 minutes for Jordan Bell in this season because it was pretty mistake-free. It was just solid. And here's the funny thing about Jordan Bell is even without him really progressing this year, he still has that defensive ability that he has is still going to be important to the Warriors in the playoffs. And it's weird that a second rounder who has not progressed, maybe even regressed a little bit, is still going to be an important player for the Warriors in the playoffs because of his switchability, because of his defensive ability. Have him out there as a big that can switch on to Harden, LeBron, whoever. Not that he'll shut them down, but he's capable. So it was good to see him get a little bit of run and play solid. Kevon Looney had a really good first quarter, actually. I believe he had 11 in the first quarter. He even knocked down a 3. My man even knocked down a three. The bench went wild. That's another thing that I'm interested in as far as this team's concerned. Anyone that's left wide open at the top of the key, maybe not Jordan Bell. Sean Livingston just won't do it. But at the top of the arc, go ahead and shoot it. You know, if Draymond is allowed to shoot threes, then why the hell isn't everyone else? And on top of that, I'm really intrigued for when Boogie comes back, because I think he's going to get a ton of open looks from three. And obviously he's going to be allowed to shoot them, but I think he's going to knock down a load of them. KD and Steph had fine games. Both of them not incredibly efficient. Steph had 29, KD had 25. It was fine. I mean, neither of them were great. The headliner was Klay Thompson. No question about it. A funny moment towards the end of the game. Klay knocks down his 4-3, looks at his right hand, and says, "I missed you." And it was awesome. It was just funny, man. It's good to have Klay shooting like that, at least for one night. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. And hopefully this time he can find it. I'm not going to say he's back until he does this consistently, because Klay Thompson, it's not just a one-game type player, you know? He's still only shooting about 34% from three, but it was a great game to see him do this. And he also still had a couple of Klay Thompson moments. He missed a fast break dunk, missed a couple of open layups. The Klay-ups might be back. I don't know if you guys remember those. But it was a great bounce-back game for him, and hopefully there's more to come, more to follow. Quinn Cook, like I said, he got 12 minutes. He had a nice sequence where he knocked down a three, a good ball movement. He knocks down a three on the wing, and then on the fast break in the ensuing possession, KD finds him in the corner wide open, knocks down another three. Quinn Cook is a guy who should get more playing time, in my opinion. Steve Kerr will say, as far as why he doesn't play him, it's mostly defensive. But look, floor spacing, his ball handling, his shooting ability to shoot, he should be on the floor more. And I hope he will be. I hope he continues to be on the floor more. And Alphonso McKinney, his minutes have gone down a little recently, which I'm not a fan of at all. I hope he continues to get more time. He came in and was just flying around, being the energy guy that he is, ripping rebounds. And he had a solid game. I hope Steve continues this kind of expanded rotation and will continue to give these guys more minutes. Like I said, Klay Thompson was the headliner this game, but there was a lot of other pieces to it as well. Kevon Looney, I told you, he had a good first quarter. One of the things that became very clear this game and the last couple games is the Warriors need another center. They need another center, and not just any kind of center. They need a big body center. And it's, yes, I know they have DeMarcus Cousins coming back, but him coming back, when he comes back, and what he comes back as, none of that's guaranteed. We don't know what any of that is. So that's something we're going to talk about coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's good? So something I mentioned after running down these games recently, like 2 minutes ago, was something that's become abundantly clear is the Warriors need another center. And look, as high as I was on Damian Jones, he was bad. He did not play well, but that injury really hurt the Warriors because of the type of player that he is, type of center that he is, that they lost. Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell are just undersized. At best, they're power forwards. At worst, they're bigger small forwards. They cannot handle the size of certain centers in the Western Conference. And when you run down the Western Conference, every single team has a big center. And it's not just every team. Every playoff team that they will most likely face has an oversized center that the Warriors can't match up with until DeMarcus Cousins comes back. And like I said, we don't know what he'll come back as. Hopefully it all works out fine and he's a great, you know, one of the best centers that they've had. That's kind of what I'm expecting. But to say that that's a sure thing, not the case. I mean, look, let's just run down some of the Western Conference here. Clippers have Gortat and Marjanovic. Lakers, we all know who they have. JaVale, Chandler. Zubac tore up the Warriors on Christmas Christmas night. Phoenix Suns, DeAndre Ayton. The Kings at least have Willie Cauley-Stein. I know he's not the biggest, but still. Dallas Mavericks have, you know, DJ, Rockets, Nene, Capella, Grizzlies, Gasol, Jaren Jackson, Pelicans. What's his name? Anthony Davis, obviously. Spurs, Gasol, and Portal. Jazz have Favors and Gobert. Blazers, Nurkic, who tore up the Warriors for two straight games. OKC, Steven Adams, Minnesota Timberwolves have Karl-Anthony Towns. The Denver Nuggets have Nikola Jokic. And Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, they're capable. You could do worse. But the thing with Damian Jones that Damian Jones brought is just a big body who could match strength and match power. Where, man, Yusuf Nurkic took Looney, Bell, and Draymond to school the last two games. Over those two games, he averaged 24 points and 11 rebounds. It felt worse than that. He dominated those guys. And the fact is, at the very least, Damian Jones was a big body. A guy who could bang with them, maybe not give up as much position as Looney or Bell. Nurkic has a solid 60 pounds on both of them. Same with Draymond. So at a certain point, you're missing something. And the Warriors are going to need to see what they can do to address it. Again, Cousins is going to be great when he returns. But I don't think Cousins is going to be playing 35 minutes in a single game this year. So the Damian Jones injury hurt in a number of ways. Not just because he could contribute in that way, but because it forced the Warriors to keep an eye out for another center and keep a roster spot open. And what I'm leading into now is the Patrick McCaw saga is officially over. I want to give him some credit, but I can't do it yet. I'll have to wait till January 7th to really give him credit for this working. And I guess I'll start at the beginning. The Cleveland Cavaliers signed him to an offer sheet, 2 years, $6 million. And if Damian Jones was healthy, the Warriors might have matched. They really might have matched. But roster flexibility and money, luxury tax, are the main reasons they didn't. The Warriors need that 15th roster spot open. If this was the NFL and you could put a player on injured reserve and open up a roster spot, Warriors wouldn't care. They'd put Damian Jones on injured reserve, have a roster spot open for a potential another center, and probably keep Pat McCaw. Not because they need the player Pat McCaw, but because they don't want to set a precedence of, okay, you can throw a temper tantrum and not show up, and then you just get to leave. Like, this is how the league works. We are allowed to match these offers and keep your contract rights and all that stuff. But Pat gets the offer from Cleveland. The 2 days pass. The Warriors decide not to match. It would have cost them $3 million in salary for Pat, and then it would have cost him $11 million in luxury tax. For a guy who, I don't think you're giving him minutes above McKinney. I don't think you're giving him minutes above Quinn. And some of the reports are Pat just wants a different role. He wants to play more. He wants to play some point guard, which is interesting because I actually thought Pat would be a great replacement for Sean Livingston eventually. Not so much Andre, but more Sean because, well, you could also say Andre. They both handle the ball a lot. But he wants a bigger role than he was ever going to get in Golden State. And I have to give Cleveland credit, and I have to give Pat McCaw credit because Cleveland, I don't know how high they are on him. We'll see what happens. I think it's a smart move for a team like Cleveland that is going so young and sees a chance to sign a guy that they wouldn't have a chance to sign otherwise. A young point guard, small forward, whatever Pat wants to call himself. He apparently wants to play some point. I don't know what kind of opportunities he'll get in Cleveland, but he wants to play some point. Cleveland saw the opportunity to sign him. They saw it as a good time where the Warriors would not match because of Alphonso McKinney playing well, because of the fact that they could use another center and could use that roster spot, because of the fact it was going to cost so much to keep Pat McCaw. Cleveland, strategically, good move. Good move on their part. I don't know how the player will work out, but as far as when to sign him and what to sign him for, I thought it was solid move on their part. Pat McCaw. I don't want to give him too much credit yet because one of the funny parts about this is Oddly enough, his salary won't become guaranteed until January 7th, similar to Alphonso McKinney's situation, and a number of other non-guaranteed contracts. So technically, the Cavs can cut him within the next week and not owe him anything. I doubt that will happen, but I can't give Pat full credit until he's on there making guaranteed money. But if he wanted a bigger role, he wanted more money than the Warriors would offer, he got it. Good for him. I don't agree with how he handled it. I don't agree with a second-round pick like him doing these things. But he gambled on himself. So far, it's worked out. We'll see how it works out in the future. But Pat McCaw is no longer a Warrior. He is a Cleveland Cavalier, and I can't wait for the first game against Pat because I can only imagine Draymond might make him quit again. Draymond might make Pat just pack it up and say, I don't even want to play basketball anymore, period. But we'll see. Weird situation. I liked him as a player. I liked him on the Warriors. Don't love how he handled this, but that's the business. And you know what? He actually potentially won. In a week, I'll let you know if he won or not. The one thing that is upsetting that I think Joe Lacob is upset about, I'm sure Bob Myers is upset about, I'm sure everyone in the Warriors organization is upset about, is they lost an asset for nothing. And I don't know what Bob Myers could have done to fix the situation, because there's another part I forgot to mention when I talked about the roster spot, needing another center, the money it would cost. If they did match the offer sheet and kept Pat around, they would not be able to trade him for at least 3 months. With the trade deadline in 5 weeks, that means they wouldn't be able to trade him this year. So they would be paying $14 million overall, three to Pat, 11 in luxury tax, for him to kind of ride the bench. And you don't know how he's going to act as a teammate, if he's going to be, you know, sour grapes because he just doesn't want to be a Warrior. I don't know. But it is too bad that they lost an asset for nothing. Now, maybe if Bob offered the same contract, you know, 2 years, $6 million at the beginning of the season, maybe he would have signed and then they could have traded him from there. Who knows? But the fact that they lost an asset for nothing is a little upsetting, especially considering they could really use a center. And I don't know what kind of trade chips they have besides draft picks now to try and get that done. So that's the worst part, that you're losing an asset for absolutely nothing. On a team that when you have an asset, you need to capitalize on it because of how top-heavy they are with their payments. They're still in the luxury tax. So they're not going to be able to replace Pat's money for anything. That's just salary that they lost. But oh well, it happens. Good luck, Pat McCaw. Saga is over. As far as the center position goes, like I said, they're looking for another one. Robin Lopez is the name I've thrown around a lot. He's most likely to get bought out because of his high salary. He would match what the Warriors need because of how big he is, and would be a great fit. Would be a great fit. And I love watching him beat up mascots. So I would like Robin Lopez. The one I'd really like is Dwayne Dedmon, but I think it's a lot less likely he gets bought out because his salary is right around $7 million. So there's a chance he could be traded. But if the trade deadline comes and goes and he's not traded and that $7 million is sitting there, who knows? Maybe he would want out. He's a guy I've wanted on the Warriors ever since he was initially on the Warriors, and they chose to keep Onion Kuzmic instead of Dwayne Dedmon. But that was a good 6 years ago. I need to get over it. So that's it for the rundown as far as the Warriors are concerned right now. I think I covered most of everything. I'm sure there's a lot more to come. Warriors taking on the Suns tonight. It's another situation. I don't know if I mentioned the Suns when I was running down the whole league. They have DeAndre Ayton, another massive center who's going to have to go up against Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell, who are much smaller than him. So we'll see. And the Suns, they can be explosive. They have a lot of shooters, a lot of scoring. Devin Booker is playing tonight. Should be a win for the Warriors, but even against a team like Phoenix, man, there's no off nights in the Western Conference. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure the Warriors will get it together, get a nice win, but you just never know. You never know in the Western Conference, and you never know when the Warriors are playing a huge center like DeAndre Ayton. Other picks for tonight, we'll go Mavs Thunder and Celtics Spurs. Two other good games for League Pass. Check it out. Thank you guys so much for listening. Good to be back. Not sure about an episode tomorrow. We will see how I feel after tonight. Wink, wink. Everyone have a safe, fun, but mostly safe New Year's Eve. Like I said, not sure about tomorrow, but we'll definitely be back for the rest of the week after that and just back in the groove daily. So stick around for more Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.